Women in Leadership, brought to you by Heron Code, the management consultancy for what happens next. For more information, you can visit heroncode.com. In this podcast, we will be talking to female leaders of today to inspire the leaders of tomorrow.
I'm always focused on the goal. I believe that I had a lot of problems or challenges, let's say. I didn't look at them. I'm really like a horse just focusing forward. And this is why I think I achieved, because the destruction with life itself can't stop any smart person. I don't think if I don't have this part in my personality, I would be a plastic surgeon. Mm-hmm. And I would be a very good plastic surgeon, yeah. Let's say, because I feel what I do. Mm-hmm. There's lots of passion into what I do, mm-hmm. every morning. You cannot find the balance unless the person is the right one, who is going to support you and understand you and actually really show you that he is proud of what you're doing. You know, a leader woman or like powerful woman can be a huge insecurity to a man. So it's only the very confident man who knows what he's doing will be really proud of you. So this equation is really hard to find.
Women in Leadership, brought to you by Heron Code. Welcome to another episode of the Heron Code Women in Leadership podcast. Every single episode has been with a woman with a completely different story, with a completely different journey and a different industry. And today we have Dr. Abir Al-Kabesi, a multi-talented and highly experienced plastic and reconstructive surgeon with more than 15 years of practice. Dr. Abir, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I'm, again, so excited because this is your first podcast. Yeah. So I'm hoping we'll set the tone for you right. And, you know, your story has been fascinating because there are so many elements to it that I really want to get into. So I guess I want to start from the very beginning, as our listeners know. That's how I love to do things. You were born in, you're originally from Bahrain.
Yes, I am.
You were born there?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long of your life were you in Bahrain for?
Well, almost all my life. Wow. I was in Bahrain, except for the studies. Mm-hmm. Like when I left Bahrain, I was actually well and grown up, mm-hmm. to do my postgraduate training. Wow. So almost all my life I am, wow. in Bahrain.
So tell me about that, growing up in Bahrain. Now that you've experienced, you know, other global worldly cultures and you've lived other places, how was that for you as a young girl with big dreams and ambitions?
I think as a young girl, according to what my parents were saying, I was very smart kid. And very determined, mm-hmm. and I do what I want, mm-hmm. always. Then my life in Bahrain was very, very peaceful because I was born in those ages where it's really, really peaceful. Mm. So as I said, smart girl living in a wonderful environment, being taken care of by perfect family. Mm. And I had so much in my mind to achieve, mm. and I believe I did. Mm. And I think also that the power of the support from my parents has pushed me forward. I can feel them now, mm. because they have a smart kid and they were and still very, very proud of.
Mm, that's beautiful. Because, you know, even within my culture, within Indian culture, there was always a girl should do this, a girl should do that. There was a lot of ceilings that we had to break through in order to want to pursue our dreams and ambitions. It's so amazing to hear that your parents completely supported you from day one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they actually said that your weapon in life is your qualification. Mm. And indeed, they were right.
Mm, wow. Yeah. So when you were young then, set the scene for me. Young Abir, what did she want to be? What did she want to become? You said you had so many ideas.
Yeah, believe it or not, I wanted to be a singer.
Wow.
but of course, I knew that, you know, that's not the qualification I'm looking for. Probably my family's looking for. Mm-hmm. And then I think I wanted to be a doctor right from the beginning.
Wow.
And also I wanted to be a surgeon right from the beginning. Mm. So I worked hard to achieve this goal. Mm-hmm. You believe it or not, like since I was 5 years, I was at school and I was always the leading student. I was just really running forward. And every year I say to myself, I'm going to be a doctor.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So you knew from early doors what you wanted to be.
Yes.
So then talk me through your education journey, because it is tough. It is grueling. You need to really be committed in the medical industry. It's years and years of dedication. How was that for you?
It was dedication, as you just said, and it was very long. And the length was basically the study of medicine. I chose to be in the Arabian Gulf University in Bahrain because it was practicing sort of innovative type of teaching. It was not like a standard type of teaching. And indeed, it was. So after graduating from the AGU, I knew that I need exactly the same amount of years in order to achieve what I want as being a surgeon and subspecialized surgeon. So for the subspecialty, it was divided between general surgery and specialized surgery. For the general surgery, I had to also to pass another 4 years with certain examinations and tests to be passed. When I got the qualification to be a general surgeon, then only I started my journey in plastic surgery.
Wow.
And that was, again, another 4 years of practice. So you can calculate 7 years of medicine, then 4 years, then 4 years.
Wow.
Still, when we graduate after all these subspecialties, we still know nothing. We know little. So we continue in the field of, in the path of education, and of course, in the path of practice. When we start as surgeons, we always start as like surgeons under observation, or we call it like senior registrar or something. Luckily enough, I started outside my country in Saudi Arabia, where I was appointed to be a consultant right away. But I've been given like 6 months of probation period because I was young. And thank God, I actually achieved a lot during those 6 months. And then I continued for 2 years in Saudi Arabia to finish my first contract as a plastic surgeon.
See, this is a really big chunk of your life, though. We're talking of the education side of things. I went to university for 3 years, and that was really difficult for me to stick through. So this whole chunk of your life, you're also at a prime age of wanting to discover the world, discover yourself, discover other people. Did you feel restricted at any point, or were you always focused on the end goal?
I never felt the restriction because I'm always focused on the goal. I believe that I had a lot of problems or challenges, let's say. I didn't look at them. I'm really like a horse just focusing forward. And this is why I think I achieved, because the distraction with life itself can stop any smart person. During that time, I became a mother. During that time, I was a determined and devoted daughter. And I was doing a lot of things by the side. Now only I'm realizing what I was doing in addition to the core of my life. That's the job that I wanted. And yeah, this is my life. I always just look forward.
Well, you're wearing so many hats. And also as someone that started so young and knew what they wanted to be, I think it's really important to have mentors and people that you look up to and role models. You said your parents, obviously you looked up to them. Was there anyone, once you got into the education realm of things, someone that guided you, helped you focus? Was there anyone like that in your life?
Yeah, definitely. In every stage I had. And look, when I work under a boss, I always look at the boss that could be me one day. So I kind of mimic their lifestyle or their reactions, or because until now, I still remember each and every boss. What would he do in this situation? So I think that was the guide. I got so inspired by those who are better than me until this particular moment. Whoever I rank people, I say, she or he are really better than me. I feel so happy for them and even happier because I'm going to be like them or even better. And then going to the plastic surgery per se, since I did it in Paris, already Paris itself has influenced me and inspired me on a daily basis. Every morning I leave my apartment, I get inspired by her, Paris. But then the professors that I worked with, they were like amazing until today. And I said, how could I be like them one day? Well, I don't want to say that I'm like them, I really hope. But without them as guides in my life, I wouldn't be who I am.
Wow. And something you touched on is your relationship with the city of Paris. Now, there's a theory that psychologists have come up with called the power place. And you know, the theory that your 2 feet touching the ground of a certain city or a certain land brings you an incredible amount of power. I felt that personally here in Dubai. You have a whole love story with Paris. Talk to me specifically about your time there and why it really transformed you and how pivotal that time had been for you and your journey and your career.
Look, I don't look at Paris the way tourists look at it. It's not a geographic place in my mind. It's literally a person, like a human, feelings, the give and take. She gave me and I gave her. She gave me friends. She gave me the taste of life. She gave me the concept of joie de vivre. Means you should really be happy doing anything in your life, even baking a cake, dressing up to go to the bakery. I've never known that. Like, I've never known that wearing makeup is like dressing up, not just to show off and make people look at you. That concept, I never got it from where I was. So that's the rapport between me and Paris. In addition to that, since I was a kid, according to my father, he said, like, everywhere we travel, I always want to stop in Paris. Now, then it was like the touristic thing, but I loved it. That's why I loved the language. And I learned the language in the early ages. And then comes me as a person by analyzing my personality that has been done by my life coach, who's amazing and excellent. She actually pointed out the places in my personality, the parts in my personality that are by no means, it matches Paris. It matches Dubai.
Wow.
It's the vanity in me. It's like, I love everything beautiful. And the way Dubai is being like taken care of in each road, in each window, how shiny it is, it suits me. Now, going back to Paris, the art in it since ages and the perfection in the beauty, how we appreciate beauty. Like when I'm walking in the streets and someone admire anything on me, it's not flirtation. It's like their duty to express their love to the beauty. So it actually grounded me somehow when it comes to that part of me, and it matches me all the time.
Because that conversation about vanity, I do agree with you. I think it's seen in such a negative light that vanity is so negative, you know, to want to look good for yourself. It's not for anyone else.
Yeah.
As a plastic surgeon, you must have a lot of these discussions.
Of course.
Where do you stand on that when it comes to, if someone was to come to you and say, you know, vanity is, you know, quite obnoxious, it's arrogant, it's this, all the negative things they say about vanity, what would you say?
I would totally disagree, because otherwise, I won't be who I am now. I don't think if I don't have this part in my personality, I would be a plastic surgeon. And I would be a very good plastic surgeon, let's say. Because I feel what I do. There's lots of passion into what I do every morning. Now, no matter how the life is treating me, good or bad, when I'm practicing my job, I'm in the best levels of happiness and passion. So vanity is the landmark. Vanity is the core of what I do as Abir and as the surgeon Abir, you know? Without it, I don't think I can live. I mean, in all means, like, even in the interior design, even in arranging the fridge, even in looking the way I want to look, at least I see it good, then only I start my day.
Yeah, absolutely. It matters to you. And something you touched on was the personality test that you did with your with your life coach. I think that no matter what industry you're in, no matter who you want to be, what your background is, the self-awareness is so important. So what made you take that step to get a life coach?
Okay. The first question my life coach has asked me in the first consultation, she said, why do you need a life coach? I said, I don't want to be that perfect. Now, perfection is just equals me. And I found out that perfection is sometimes is harsh on the person. And then when she started doing the analysis, she said, I think I cannot be otherwise. Like, it's just in my personality that I want everything, every word I hear to be perfect according to my own standards. Maybe my perfect is not yours, but it's just the perfection in me. drains some time.
Yeah.
Now, knowing who I am and that I am just trying to be perfect is something good. I mean, because of her, I kept going and I cherish this.
Yeah. And this, it ties into what you said earlier about your mentors and your guides or other people that were excelling or doing amazing things. There was no jealousy. There was no competition. You're very much in your own lane. And you seem like someone who's very much focused on that. Now, as a woman in that space, would you say it's quite a male-dominated industry?
Yeah, naturally. It's like the majority are males.
Mm.
Like when I started in my region, I was the first female plastic surgeon. And that has actually given me an access. I don't like it now, of course, but at the beginning, it helped me.
Mm.
It gave me an access to the field of cosmetic surgery.
Mm.
Now, the women would gravitate towards a female plastic surgeon. Yeah, they prefer it, let's say. And I can feel them, like they feel more comfortable when it comes not only in examination and actual surgery, but also in the taste, in the give and take and what she feels, especially towards the male in her life.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I can understand it. It's helped me, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Now when people come to me, still they do come to me because I'm a female plastic surgeon. Now with some sort of experience, they still say like, we come to you because you're a female. You know, I don't like it anymore, but I don't blame them.
Yeah. Did you ever, seeing as you were the first female plastic surgeon where you were, was there ever any negative shadow from the males in the industry? Were they threatened by it, by a female in the space? Did you feel welcomed?
You know, I told you, like, I'm always like a horse just looking forward. So I've never turned my head to see if these people are, if the guys are jealous or like threatened or feeling like insecure in my presence in their field. It's not their field, it's our field. I made sure to befriend as much as I can. To be honest, I've never faced sort of obvious jealousy from a particular person, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. I never thought of it.
Yeah. I love that. You just don't even hear the noise around you.
Yeah.
Because you're so focused.
Yes.
Okay. So you've become a plastic surgeon. You've achieved the dream that you so had for so, so long. You went through all the years of education. You've achieved that goal. So what's the next goal after practicing and, you know, becoming the first female to do it? What are you now goalposting?
Now I've already passed successfully the first 15 years of my practice since I joined Saudi Arabia. And then in Bahrain, I opened. And then I opened a branch in Dubai.
Wow.
So you can see that it's always progressively being more and more successful.
Mm.
Of course, I always have goals. But now maybe the goals are to sub-specialize in what I'm doing. And so to cater every need when it comes to cosmetic procedures to my patients and make sure that I always excel in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, extending my clinic, making it bigger, having more branches in the Middle East, you know, this is the goal that I have. And I make it run by its own with my touch, of course, of perfection in every field.
Mm. Because the way you're speaking a bit, you are so passionate about what you do. And generally, that industry, some people would mistake it to be quite clinical. But the way you speak about it and the way you practice, there is so much emotion attached to it. Tell me your approach to what you do, because you can feel your love for it in every word that you speak when you speak about what you do.
Yeah, and this feeling, it goes right to the heart of the patient in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
They feel it, they know it. And I feel it. There's some connection that happens between me and her or him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I approach, it's so easy for me to say no. Like, it doesn't suit you, doesn't suit you. It's not good for you, not good for your health, not good for your look.
Yeah.
So I analyze the person the moment they enter into my room and I see how simple or not she or he is. And then I know what they want and I know what they make, what can make them happy. You know, there is kind of a misuse or abuse for this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it. It doesn't match my passion, doesn't match my perfection, doesn't match my vanity too.
Mm.
So I don't like it. I don't like the extreme. I like simplicity. And simplicity comes with beauty at the same time.
Mm.
I try to convey this to the patient and or the client. And then almost always they get convinced. I hardly have a 0.5% of those who disagree with me, and then they leave, they never come back. Mm-hmm. But the majority of them, they come back because they like the taste.
Yeah.
And you know, these are my version of patients. I'm sure there are other patients that goes to someone else with a different approach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting about you though, is that we've spoken about how ambitious you are, how many dreams you had, how you've achieved all of them. But you've also managed to have a full, incredible personal life at the same time, which is so hard for people to do. People talk about that work-life balance. Do you think that it's possible, or is it just a farce having a work-life balance?
Well, if you ask me, I'll say, yes, it is possible because it's my own way of managing. And sometimes I even stop and say, wow, how could you do that? I speak to myself and how did I do that? Mm. And then it becomes so natural, effortless. I just do it. Mm. And it truly, like, I feel myself, I'm changing hats in the same moment.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm happy that I'm trying to perfect. I know that I'm not the best in each and every one of them, but I do my best to achieve all. Mm. Like, now talking about all means like the mother, the surgeon, the daughter, the wife, the friend, and so many more, like the interior designer, the contractor, the anything comes in my way, I really want to fix it. Mm. And any problem comes in my way, you see that I'm thinking so deep, how can I fix it? I don't say, how did it happen? Because it's happened.
So you're solution-based.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why when I said, I don't want to be perfect, because the perfection in me wants to solve the problem rather than talk about it. Mm. It's happened, done. I want a solution for each and every misunderstanding or any problem that happens in my life.
So how important is it for you that your daughter sees how hard you work? Because we've spoken about on previous episodes, mum guilt. But the way I was raised was with two, entrepreneurs. They run their own business, my mum and dad. And I only ever saw them working. That's all I know. In some way, it's completely inspired me to create my own lane. It can go the other way. Mm-hmm. And my mum has spoken to me about the guilt that she felt not spending time with us, but I wouldn't have it any other way. So for you, from your personal experience, how important is it for your daughter to see you doing what you do and how hard you work in achieving your goals?
My daughter and my two boys, they're all grown-ups and they have seen me, as you just said, always working. Mm. But I think they also saw me how happy I am, or I used to be until today, working. Mm. So they see, I believe, work equals happiness. Mm. Work equals ability. Works equal shine. Just shine, just positive. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I have made work to be sound or feel negative in my kids. Mm-hmm. My daughter per se, because she's my friend, my daughter, my everything. Mm-hmm. And because we're women in the family. So, so I believe now seeing her like a copy of me. So now I'm really happy because she got the inspiration from me without us knowing, without she or me knowing. Mm-hmm. I thought she would be like totally different. Determined, fast, thinker, and beautiful.
I love that. That's so, so important. So Dr. Abir, now we've spoken about your emotional attachment to your work and how passionate you are about what you do and how everything you oozes through in your career. Let's focus a bit on the personal side. I would love to ask you, when it comes to that balance that we spoke about, the work-life balance between, you know, balancing all the hats that you wear. One hat you mentioned was a wife. But throughout that whole process of education, of everything that you were busy doing, how did you have time to find love?
Well, finding love has actually cost me a lot. Mm. Because I believe that love is the core for any woman to perform, any leader to be leader. Mm. We cannot be like dry with no emotions and then we say that we are leaders. This is at least my understanding. Because of the power that I get out of love, it makes every day so bright and it really, really pushes me to the top of my performance. Mm. It wasn't easy to find the person that can accomplish everything in your mind. And I struggled when it comes to this journey, but finally we are.
I think it's so amazing because even for me, I feel like I'm a 200% person. And I need a partner who understands that. And that is so hard to find in this day and age. How have you found the balance between that?
You cannot find the balance unless the person is the right one who is going to support you and understand you and actually really show you that he is proud of what you're doing. You know, a leader woman or like powerful woman can be a huge insecurity to a man. So it's only the very confident man who knows what he's doing will be really proud of you. So this equation is really hard to find.
You know, I think what I love is what you mentioned as well, that you opened a clinic back in Bahrain as well. How important was it for you to make sure you go back home and provide for your community and what you've learned around the world and take it back home?
Look, I wanted to stay in Paris, but as I said, like my roots are in Bahrain, so definitely I wanted to come back to Bahrain. And I know that there is a huge place opened for me. I felt it. I always attract positive thinking. So I knew that this is going to happen. The fact that I went to Saudi Arabia, because that moment there was like way better chance for me to start. And it was chosen for me, like, by God, I believe in that. And it was a wonderful start. Because most of my clients started from Saudi, who came with me to Bahrain. So naturally, I'm going to be in Bahrain. I'm going to start in Bahrain. That was the idea in my mind. And then I felt like my wings are really so big. I wanted to go back out. So the first place I thought of was Dubai. And it was an excellent choice that I made also.
Absolutely. You're a team leader. We just mentioned all the hats that you wear. What is your approach to managing people? Because I feel that is the toughest task when it comes to running a business and being an entrepreneur. Is managing people through tough times, COVID, you know, understanding that people have their own individual lives, but also are here to work. What is your approach to it?
Look, I think what I have now around me is my team, who are actually my other family. And I was successful enough to keep them always with me. And we are together, me and my team, for a very long time. The minimum was 7 years. So I feel so connected to them, and they are too. We go through the ups and downs. But as I said, I always have the approach of solving problems. So they love talking to me, because whenever they get me a problem, in a second or two, I'm going to give them the solution. We always work hand in hand. I accept everyone the way she is or he is. As I said, even when we go through the downs, it helps us all to pick us up and go to the higher level of achievement. Every failure for me is like, I become happy actually when I have any sort of failure, because this failure is my guide to success. Imagine if I had never failed, I wouldn't be where I am now. I would be really stagnant. So the failure in certain situations was my power of progressing together with my team. My team are partially medical and partially like administrative, so they're without them I don't like to continue. You know, it's like there's attachment. I can continue with others, but I made sure to keep this connection between my team and I.
And what I love is your whole approach to this, because you bring your personality completely oozes into what you do. Now, finally, you said that you're building the empire, you know, you've got many branches of your clinics moving around. How important is it for you to now be a mentor to others and, you know, make the way and make the path for others behind you? Would you consider mentorship? Is that something that you do?
Look, I am an international speaker anyway. I train with regards to anything related to plastic surgery here and there all over the world. I love it. I love teaching. I love conveying what I have, what I made to others. The only thing I need to have around me, people who are like so, so passionate to absorb what I give. You know, generations changes. So I cannot really accommodate each and every generation. So what I wish is that whoever feels have the passion and the ability to absorb, most welcome to be with me and my team. Yes, indeed. I'd really love to convey what I made and what I believe in this particular field to others.
Dr. Abir, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I think we can go on for hours, but I know for a fact that so many of our listeners feel inspired by you, and you've shared so many gems that they can share and experience along their journey as well, no matter their background. So I want to thank you. I hope you've enjoyed your first podcast.
Oh, so much.
I'm so glad, and we hope to see you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Women in Leadership, brought to you by Heron Code.